It's time for your weekly fix of wrestling nostalgia when we look at wrestling's past eras from the Attitude Era to the Reality Era.
I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead, but the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
To today. Here on the WWE Podcast.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. It is time for some wrestling nostalgia. And it's good old D-Generation X on the plate tonight. And the year is 2006. So it's going to be a fun ride here tonight as we travel back in time to 14 years ago. And I can say that 14 years ago, as I look at wrestling, it was a completely different landscape. As you know, we all know it was the tail end of the Ruthless Aggression era, about to jump into the PG era just a couple of years later. A time when the Spirit Squad was running roughshod over the WWE. As we know, or you may not know, Dolph Ziggler came out of that group and really was the only true silver lining of that group. And I think I enjoyed the Spirit Squad more than most. I know that many people looked at them as just silly male cheerleaders, and I personally love them from an entertainment standpoint. They were, number one, extremely different, all athletic, just kind of a group of annoying jocks that I think most people can relate to being in high school, and that kind of group of guys exists in every high school in America. Obviously, they're not wearing cheerleading outfits, but you have that group of just annoying meatheads. And it really was, I think, a group that was that underachieved, but I think I, at least for me personally, enjoyed them more than most, and I enjoyed watching them get their ass whooped more than most. And obviously, with Dolph Ziggler coming out of that, at least there was some type of redeeming quality, something that we can actually take from, and we can say, hey, at least this came from it. And Dolph Ziggler, I think, was and is a pretty big asset to WWE, and still is, regardless of what you may think about how he's booked and how he's been booked his entire career, which the answer is like crap. That's the answer. But he still is an insanely talented human being from an in-ring perspective. I don't think he was ever that great on promos. Still isn't. At least that's my opinion. I think he's sometimes just too much of a screamer on the mic, but he knows how to cut a promo. He'll just never be great at it. It's not something that is easily attainable. And there's no slight on him, because you look at Roman Reigns and you would still say that he's a C or C minus promo, and he is being billed as a top guy in the company. So you don't have to be a great talker. You have to be a good performer and all-around entertainer and just have the it factor. And Dolph Ziggler has had that. He just has gotten, unfortunately, the short end of the stick with the booking. And we can do a whole series on Dolph Ziggler. I mean, you could go chapter and verse on every misbooking, mistreatment, or start and stop of his career. And so, anyway, this is not a podcast about Dolph, although that may come down the line. I actually did see him in the airport one time as I was on my way to Mexico. I think it was in Houston. I might have been traveling through Houston or Dallas, somewhere in Texas. And I remember he was going down the elevator. I was going up, and he had his hood up, and he was looking on his phone. And I was like, wait a minute. I know who that is, and I didn't want to be the guy. I see he was going the opposite direction anyway. What am I going to do, right? I'm just going to jump over the side of the elevator to go into his lane. And I mean, it was just kind of a bizarre, didn't expect it to happen type thing. But anyway, so welcome to the WWE Podcast. We do this wrestling nostalgia bit once a week as we take a look back into WWE's history and pull something from the vault, really something from my brain that's in the vault of WWE, and give you guys audio. We get to relive the moment in real time, And I'd love to hear from you guys. If you love, by the way, you want your opinion or your comment or suggestion, anything on this show, keep it a minute or less. If you want to rant about something, that's cool too. Just send me an audio file to my email at realwwepodcast@gmail.com and you'll get on the show. I had a couple of people take me up on that and they were on the show two shows ago, whatever the heck that was. My brain is just absolute fog today. My son was just did not sleep last night. I think I got about 2.5-3 hours of sleep and then get up and work 9 hours, came home, played dad, then came here, and I'm here for you guys. So as mentally absent as I may be, I will do my best to at least fake it. But I really do love this moment. And again, this is 2006 that we're looking at. And 14 years ago, it's insane when you look at how quickly time goes in wrestling. 14 years ago. So think about that. 2006. What were you doing in 2006? Were you still in school? Were you not married yet? What were you doing in 2006? It's just to try to put yourself back in those shoes. 2006, right? For me personally, not that many of you really care too much, but for those that may get a slight chuckle out of where I was, 2006, in my life, I was working at a grocery store making, I'll give you the, let me think about this. I think it might have been close to $10 an hour. And I was like super excited about it, right? I was a shift leader, as they call it, basically a front end supervisor. I mean, you can call it what you want, on in a grocery chain here in New York. And I didn't have my big boy job yet. I was a couple of years away from that, and still was I living? Yeah, I was still living at home with mommy and daddy. I went to college for a semester in South Carolina, came back. And which I still regret. I wish I just stayed in South Carolina. You know, maybe I should just do like a segment on my personal life. Maybe just a whole new podcast or something. I don't know. But so I was living at home and I was still a wrestling fan. Of course, I've been since 97. And I was in a relationship. I was, again, using my money from work as really just party money for beer, right? Like I was living at home, right? So you didn't have a whole lot to pay for other than your gas for your car, your entertainment, which was for me like beer on the weekends. I had a couple of friends that were interested in wrestling, not a lot. I was 21 years old. So think about that as you're 21 years old and you have a job that really doesn't matter. You have a house that's paid for and you really just spend your money. Really, it was like I would spend my money on like gas, beer, wrestling stuff, video games, just insane stuff. I mean, like when you think about the expenses that I have now with like having a family and all that kind of stuff, it's just amazing how life changes for you in such a short time. And to look back and go, oh my God, that's all I had to pay for? How did I survive on $10 an hour and working 20 hours a week? I can remember saying, I don't want more than 20 hours a week. Like to me, that was kind of the sweet spot, 18 to 20 hours a week, sometimes even 15 hours. When I get into like the upper 20s and 30s, I would go, oh my God, right? I would say, yeah, I'm not working that much. I want to do my own thing. I remember getting pissed off that I had too many hours at work. It's just amazing, right? Now I'm working, obviously a 40-hour work week, but I have this on the side. I've got being dad. Like, I mean, I've got like there is zero free time in my life. So it's just crazy, crazy, crazy when you think back. And as I said, I was in a relationship of which no girl I've ever dated has ever been a wrestling fan in like ever, never. And I realized that they were a rare breed. If I had ever found a girl that was a wrestling fan that I dated, we probably would have been married. Although I am happily married, but the fact is that if you find a girl and you're happy with her, guys, listen, and she's a wrestling fan, you need to just put a ring on it. Just Beyonce that girl and put a ring on it because she's a keeper. Because You guys will forever be bonded by wrestling. Think about how you are bonded by wrestling just for your family or friends or people you've met online or just met. Think of that bond you have with people in your own life or even people that you meet at the arena that you go to in your local wrestling event. You just have the instant bond. You know, you have that forever. So, guys, I'm serious. You're going to thank me later. But yeah, never dated a girl that liked wrestling. They never quite understood it. Or they would just go, ooh, where's The Rock? Or where's, you know, Undertaker? Like, they would look at just the huge names. And this my friends do too. They look at the huge names, and that's all they think that matters. Or that's all that they know. And that they think, even now, in 2020, I still have people thinking that, you know, oh, Stone Cold's going to show up and, you know, drop a stunner in beer, and The Rock's going to show up. And it's like, well, no, right? It's even rare at WrestleMania that happens now. So, you know, you have those friends that just still live in those days that those guys are all and that all that mattered and are still somehow hanging around. I don't know. So, anyway, in a relationship that was a tough on the wrestling end. Anyway, you just kind of learn to live with it as a wrestling fan, and also trying to party on the weekend. I had to, like, you know, sneak out and lie about where I was because I'm 21 years old, right? Oh, I'm just going to go home. And you know, I live, you know, with my parents. So, oh, I'm just going to go home. You know, I'm just going to, you know, and this is the days of non-smartphones. So all you do is like send a text. There was no GPS on your phones that people could track. So, yeah, it was, my 20s were just a damn mess, right? My 20s were just, I really should do, if you guys are interested, and maybe you're not, maybe you're already telling me, shut the F up and get to the wrestling nostalgia, and I'm going to in a second. But if you're interested in like hearing some stories about my personal life, I mean, I could tell you some things that are pretty astounding, or maybe you can relate to, or maybe we can come on and you can share your, you know, your stuff. It's, I don't even know what I would call it. I don't even know what segment it would be, but I'm just, sometimes I get the urge to just, I love wrestling. It is part of my life and will always be, but there are some times where I'm just like, man, I really just want to vent about something that happened to me. And, I don't know. We'll see. You guys are interested. Let me know if you're not, cool too. All right, let's get to your wrestling nostalgia and tell me to shut the F up. So the year is 2006. And let me just set the stage for 2006 in WWE's platform, right? So in 2006, we had the Royal Rumble, right? This happened on January 29th, and Rey Mysterio won the Rumble that year. I believe he lasted 61 minutes or so, 62 minutes, something crazy, and ended up winning the Royal Rumble that year. In February, we had a No Way Out match between Kurt Angle and The Undertaker, in which Kurt Angle defeated The Undertaker to retain the World Heavyweight Championship. Now, interestingly also, at this pay-per-view, Rey Mysterio lost his WrestleMania 22 World Heavyweight Championship opportunity that he had earned at the Rumble by winning the match. He lost it to none other than Randy Orton, but he still ended up being in the championship match at WrestleMania. So, you know, as I look back at that, I remember that Ray won. I don't remember how that actually happened in terms of losing to Randy and how Ray got inserted back in. If I was looking to it that as with a critical eye as I do now, and not just being, you know, blindly spoon fed and being okay with whatever WWE just feeds me, I would say, well, how does that happen? Why even bother? Why not just have Randy get himself into this match, because this really did nothing. Ray didn't keep to the stipulation, right? And then was able to come back into the match and having Randy come in. If you wanted a triple threat, which clearly Vince wanted in this match at WrestleMania, the main event of WrestleMania 22. So anyway, it kind of rings a little bit true 8 years later at WrestleMania 30, as Daniel Bryan was in a triple threat match himself with Randy Orton and Batista. So, interesting story there. All right, then we get to March. And the reason I'm giving you this timeline is just maybe you can refresh your memory. And I'm letting you know how this build up to the DX reuniting happened. So at the WWE SmackDown on March 4th, Kurt Angle defeated Mark Henry with Daivari. You guys remember Daivari? And The Undertaker by disqualification. At this time, the Spirit Squad was running amok, was kind of at the hand of Vince McMahon doing his bidding. And then we get WrestleMania 22. John Cena defeated Triple H by submission in a singles match to retain the WWE Championship. This was also CM Punk's first cameo appearance in WWE. At this time, he was still in OVW, but interesting note there. This happened in Rosemont, Illinois, and this is when WrestleMania went big time. Yeah, remember that song? Remember that? Now it's in your head. If you don't know the WrestleMania 22 theme song, just YouTube it. It will get stuck in your head for the rest of the day, and I apologize. If you already know the tune, well, now it's in your head, and again, I still apologize. It's in my head, too, so I am also suffering. So it's the reason I bring that up, too. This is where WrestleMania, they were still in the, not in stadiums yet, right? And a year prior, they went into Hollywood. So, actually, I'm sorry. WrestleMania 21 was big time because they went big time to Hollywood. So my apologies. WrestleMania 22 had a different theme song. WrestleMania 21, John Cena faced JBL. So my apologies. I don't know. See, I told you guys, it's been a long damn day. I tried to warn you. WrestleMania 21 was the big time theme song. I don't know what the hell 22 was. But anyway, moving on. In May, at Judgment Day, Rey Mysterio defeated JBL in a singles match to retain the World Heavyweight Championship. On May 21st, JBL has also been inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. From a professional standpoint, absolutely agree. JBL, I think, I actually believe that he could be an asset today. If JBL was still in ring shape and he was of age and could go for a few more years, I think he would still be an amazing heel. From whatever I think of him on a personal level and the stories I've heard about him, and that they've been corroborated and verified by various sources, not just, oh, hearsay, dirt sheets. No. Like, it's been verified by Justin Roberts and many others through other podcasts. On a personal level, from what I hear, I would not be friends with this man at all. He has actually blocked me on Twitter. I don't care. But so on a professional level, absolutely deserving of the accolade of becoming a part of the WWE Hall of Fame. So then we get to June, and this is where the reuniting happened. It happened on June 12th, 2006. And again, this is where Shawn Michaels was a babyface. And you have to also remember that Shawn Michaels had faced Vince McMahon in a no-holds-barred match at WrestleMania 22 just a couple of months prior. And that match went actually 18 minutes. That was the second longest match on the card. Shawn Michaels versus Vince McMahon at WrestleMania 22. So Shawn was already a babyface. And he was fighting off the Spirit Squad after his loss to... after Vince McMahon lost to Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 22, which is, to me, still one of the best builds in the history of WrestleMania. And I don't say that lightly. I do not say that lightly. And the reason I say it's the best build, it was not the best match. Although the match was serviceable and satisfying and justified and worth the wait, it was not what today's definition of a five-star match would be. But when you look at the build, I'm also seeing a somewhat similar build between Edge and Orton this year. That build, and if you guys have heard me talk about this before, you know where I'm going with this. The build from Shawn Michaels and Vince McMahon that started in December, I believe, of 2005, when Shawn told Vince to move on from the Bret Hart situation, which is what really, really just sparked the whole program, was with Bret Hart and all the whole situation. But the whole build was built around the premise that Sean could never quite get to Vince. For like it was 2 or 3 months that Sean was tortured by Vince. He would have cronies go after Vince. Shane was involved. Sean was constantly outnumbered, or when you think Sean finally outsmarted Vince or would get his hands on Vince, he would get beat down. And this happened week after week after week after week. Or even if Shawn Michaels won a match, Vince would somehow scurry away. It was a great build because it built so much anticipation and the organic need to want to see Vince McMahon get his ass handed to him by Shawn Michaels and see him get Sweet Chin Music. Vince didn't eat Sweet Chin Music until WrestleMania 22. So the build and the anticipation to see that, it was brilliantly done. The heat on Vince was off the charts, white hot. And we're starting to see that a little bit with Randy Orton. While Edge is not currently there and trying to get a hold of Randy, and Randy continues to slip away or have cronies at his back, although I'd be careful of that, by the way. I would just look out for Randy potentially recruiting a couple of people. Anytime a heel is this hot, suddenly they have people to take the heat for them. So just something to keep in mind. But that's not the exact situation. Obviously, Edge has been off TV for 6 weeks after the chair shot. But it's the same type of premise where Randy hasn't got his comeuppance yet. It's been 6 weeks. WWE has a habit of not being able to last 2 weeks without blowing off heat and making the crowd go home happy and bring smiles to people's faces. The build here of the Edge and Randy is similar to what happened with Shawn and Vince. Some similarities. So that's just to set the premise for Shawn. For Triple H here, Triple H was a heel for, my God, I mean, how long? I mean, he was a babyface in 2002 when he returned because the people loved him. Turned heel a few months later, back to where he was. And then back to babyface after Vince decided to make Triple H his next target. And now you have Vince, or you have Shawn, and you have Triple H have a common enemy in the Spirit Squad, led by Vince McMahon. So we're going to get to the audio in just a second. It's brilliant audio. I mean, like, the crowd reaction is awesome. And a personal story, wrestling related, don't worry. The Monday night after this, in Rochester, New York, I actually went to that show the week after they truly reunited. And that was the Raw episode in which DX was there as official return. I think they put Coach through a wall. And they also slimed the Spirit Squad. So I do remember this very well. And it was great to see these two back. And while Shawn was a bit neutered because of his limitations, because of his beliefs in religion and all that, now I understand and respect that. They did maybe feel a little bit too old to continue doing their antics at times. It's even if he wasn't limited, it still felt a little bit sophomoric, as if, you know, it's like the uncle that you have that's, you know, 45 years old, but still acting like, trying to act like they're cool and they're 20, you know, they're 25, still pulling pranks like a, you know, a fool. So while as entertaining as DX was, and I love their second run together, it was not their first. You can't recreate their first go around. So their second run, as I said, was good. It was just Shawn and Triple H. You didn't have Road Dogg or Billy Gunn. You didn't have X-Pac. You didn't have China, obviously. So it was a bit, a much more scaled down version of DX, but it was the core of DX, which was Triple H and Shawn, right? Like, they are D-Generation X by definition, and the rest is just gravy with the members. So again, they felt a little bit sophomoric. I wasn't a huge, huge fan of a lot of their antics, even at 21 years old. You know, at 21 years old, I still found some of this funny. Like, for example, when Triple H and Shawn, it might have been a couple of weeks after they reunited, Vince was coming out and cutting a promo, and Shawn and Triple H had commandeered the production truck. And Vince was out there, and Shawn and Triple H were supposedly it was supposedly them, but it obviously wasn't. They were drawing like chickens on the screen and, you know, making Vince's, like altering Vince's voice to sound really high pitched and saying he loves cocks. But then they drew a chicken so they could say that they were, you know, they're talking about chickens, not, you know, what we all think it is. And drawing a bubble over his face that said, you know, like a thought bubble or something that said, like, I love cocks. It's like, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, it's just not my flavor. It's not my flavor of what these two are about. So, one last thing, and then I'm going to get to the audio because I'm really excited to play this. We had a, if you don't remember, or don't remember or forgot or didn't know, a couple of years prior to this, Shawn, after he made his return in 2002, was set to reunite with Triple H for D-Generation X. People were loving it. And then Triple H, they came out in their old DX shirts and said, you know, let's get ready to suck it, and gave him a pedigree. And from there, that led to their, you know, their SummerSlam match. And we all know what happened at SummerSlam 2002 with Triple H hitting him in the back with a sledgehammer, and then Shawn's comeback for the next 6 years. So that fake reuniting didn't actually happen in a real scenario and actually come to fruition until 4 years later in June of 2006. And to set the stage, Triple H was in a handicap match with the Spirit Squad, who were just completely outnumbering him. Triple H just couldn't get the advantage as Vince was leading the show and continuing to send member after member after member of the Spirit Squad down. So let's take a listen to a Triple H's struggle and ultimately the moment we've all been waiting for, the reuniting of D-Generation X.
Squad member Mitch coming out, almost forgot. Coming out and enjoy this, baby.
That was just brilliant. I mean, they had been building this to this for weeks and weeks as both men individually in their own matches were getting beat down by the Spirit Squad. And as I mentioned, in the 2002 to 2005, early 2006, Shawn Michaels and Triple H were not on best terms in terms of, you know, being aligned in any kind of way on air. They were in fierce rivalries, you know, for most of 2003 into 2004, and kind of went their own ways for a while and then would somehow find their way back. And they just never were on the same page and had a bitter, bitter rivalry. Some of the best matches, though, you've ever seen as well. So they've been building to this forever. And I was looking forward to this because you knew it was coming. And the pop that the crowd gave when Triple H and Shawn Michaels were staring at each other and then hit the high five was, it was loud, man. It was a moment that, again, you build to it, you build to it, you build to it. And they paid it off in a big way. Of course, having Jim Ross at the helm as the voice and the narrator of this story certainly helps. I say that every time Vince or JR is a part of the moment that we're listening to, that he just adds, I mean, and really a immeasurable amount of importance to whatever you're listening to. So, and King to that matter too. I mean, he's not the king. Let me just say, Jerry the King Lawler in 2020 is not the Jerry the King Lawler in, you know, in the 90s and in early 2000s. Today he's just kind of like a, you know, a kind of a lost commentator that just has, he was good for a couple of quick jokes, but is ultimately lost and just befuddled by everything that happens in the ring and really just the stupidity that he shows on the mic. And I'm not saying he's a stupid man. I'm saying how he's presented as an announcer in 2020 it's not very flattering for his character because he just sounds so clueless that, you know, he's so surprised. How did he kick out of that? You know, I mean, just simple moves that aren't finishers that they're surprised. He's surprised that, you know, there's kickouts from. I don't know. I hate to knock on Jerry's work because I'm a huge fan of Jerry the King Lawler, but not the way that these produced in 2020. I will say that. So, you know, I love his body of work, but I don't know, not the way he's being produced now. So anyway, that moment, if you haven't seen it, I always recommend that if you haven't seen those moments that I produce and give you guys on Wrestling Nostalgia, that you're doing yourself a disservice. I mean, go just YouTube it. Just YouTube it. Just say DUNX reunites in 2006 and it'll pop up. On a side note too, Vince McMahon's face, this guy is good for just GIFs every, you know, 5 seconds. I mean, especially in the 90s and 2000s, the facials that he gives Triple H and Shawn Michaels when they give him the crotch chop, it's priceless. It is absolutely priceless. You guys should, if you're not going to watch for anything else, watch it for Vince McMahon's face after they reunite. I mean, it's absolutely brilliant. Brilliant. So, guys, just check it out, please. So, as a bit of a bonus, now, typically, I don't do this. Typically, I don't do double duty on these, but there's this clip that I recently came across on YouTube. And it really resonated with me. It really resonated with me because it rings true even now. It was done by Joey Styles. It was done the same year. And this happened a month and a half before the reuniting of DX. It was absolutely just an amazing speech. And this is when Joey Styles quit Raw. As you know, Joey Styles was a part of the ECW announce team during their heyday. And Joey Styles then had subsequently joined Raw. And there is so much truth into this. So I just want you guys to take a listen to Joey Styles here as he quits Raw after he's kind of punked out by the King. And let's just take a listen because, again, this happened on May 1st, 2006. But 14 years later, it rings so true. And I'm shocked that this stuff was allowed to even be said back then. So let's take a listen to Joey Styles a month and a half before. And let's see if you can just maybe relay this rant into today's product.
Like nothing happened. Like you didn't knock me on my ass in front of millions of people worldwide. And I'm going to come down there and work with you. I'm not coming back. And now, thanks to the magic of live television, I'm going to show the whole world why for 7 years in ECW, I was the unscripted, uncensored, loose cannon of commentary. 6 months ago, WWE called me. I didn't call this company because I was looking for a job. I didn't need a job. WWE called me because they had humiliated and fired again Jim Ross. So I get JR's spot. And from week one, week after week, I've got an ongoing lecture about the differences in professional wrestling and sports entertainment. I'm not allowed to say pro wrestling. I'm not allowed to say wrestler. I have to say sports entertainment and refer to the wrestlers as superstars. I'm told to deliberately ignore the moves and the holds during the matches so I can tell stories. Well, ignoring the moves and the holds is damn insulting to the athletes, the wrestlers, not the entertainers, who leave their families 300 days a year to ply their craft in that ring. So here's the best part. Because I'm not a sports entertainment storyteller, I get pulled from WrestleMania. And the reason I'm given is because I don't sound like Jim Ross, who was the guy they fired in the first place. That makes sense, right? So I swallow the bitter pill. I'm a company guy. I get bumped from WrestleMania. Then I get bumped from Backlash. I'm not good enough to call Backlash. In ECW, I called live pay-per-views on my own. Solo, no color commentators dragging me down. Wasn't done before me, hasn't been done since. But I'm not good enough to call Backlash because I'm not a sports entertainment storyteller. Well, you know what? I am sick of sports entertainment. I am sick of male cheerleaders. I am sick of boogers and bathroom humor and semen, and I am sick of our chairman who likes to talk about his own semen. He mocks God. He mocks God and makes out with the divas all to feed his own insatiable ego. I am sick of sports entertainment. And most of all, I'm sick of you fans who actually buy into that crap, this sports entertainment circus. I never needed this job, and I don't want this job anymore. I quit.
I mean, that was the pipe bomb before the pipe bomb. I don't think people talk about this promo as much as it should be discussed. How freaking brilliant was that by Joey Styles? This was a pipe bomb before pipe bomb was a thing. And imagine if this was a promo delivered today. People would lose their minds. But I think the promo would be cheered a lot more in 2020 than it was in 2006, because in 2006, WWE was still kind of hanging on to the Attitude Era stars. Brock Lesnar was their big guy, although he left in 2004. So you had still had a little bit of Kurt Angle. Taker was still there. Triple H, Shawn Michaels. You know, you still had some of the good old boys there that from the 90s that were still carrying the ship. And carrying the wagon, I should say. And, but think about some of the things he said in that. Just that resonate today. Bathroom humor, boogers, that you can't say wrestlers, it's sports entertainers. And he's telling, Vince is telling, you know, you could see it that Vince is truly lecturing him after Raw about the differences between wrestling and sports entertainment storytelling. I mean, all of that rings true. I wish it would, this would be replayed. I mean, it is and should be in the Hall of Fame of promos. Seriously, this deserves to be in the Hall of Fame of promos because there is so much truth in all of this. There is so much truth in what Joey Styles said. I believe that what he was going to say was pre-approved, but certainly there were things in there that were based in truth. You can bet it. You can bank on it. I just loved it. Absolutely loved it. It came from a place of real emotion from Joey Styles, who came from an environment of ECW that was not about sports entertainment. It was about the guys and girls in the ring. And talking about how he was deliberately told to ignore the moves and the holds in the ring, and how it's disrespectful to the guys and gals that leave their families 300 days a year to apply their craft in the ring. I mean, you talk about a babyface promo. If he didn't rat on the crowd at the end, I think the crowd would have gave him a standing ovation, and Joey Styles had to kind of steer the course back to being a heel. But it was just brilliant. I mean, I have nothing to say about it. You talk about a mic drop situation. That was brilliant. Every time I see and hear that, it really just, it rings more and more true every single year from WWE. And I'll be a WWE fan forever. But when you talk about what's wrong with the business, when you talk about what I dislike about the business and things that I complain about or, you know, whatever I critique, Joey Styles summed it up in 5 minutes in a brilliantly spoken promo that was cutting to the core of the problem of WWE in their presentation of professional wrestling. And that's exactly what it is. Sports entertainment is not a thing. They like to pretend that sports entertainment is a reversible term as pro wrestling is. Pro wrestling is what is entertaining. Sports entertainment. Think about that. Think about the phrase sports entertainment. Sports that are entertaining. You're entertained by sports. Well, what is pro wrestling? A sport. And I don't want to get into that argument of whether or not you believe it's a sport. Okay, I would assume if you're listening to this podcast, you believe it is a sport. Okay, so let's go under that premise that it's a sport. Okay, pro wrestling is a sport. So if pro wrestling is a sport, aren't you entertained by watching pro wrestling, which is why you watch it, which is why you watch anything on television, is be entertained, right? It doesn't make any sense. It's kind of a duplicate term to say sports entertainment, because sports are entertaining by their very definition. But they like to come up with these phrases that mask what the notions and the connotations that pro wrestling, the word pro wrestling, carries. When people hear pro wrestling, Vince feels like people think it's fake stuff. So he comes up with a more modern term for pro wrestling in sports entertainment. But sports entertainment is not a thing. Okay, think about it. Pro wrestling is entertainment. Pro wrestling is how you become entertained. But you don't say pro wrestling entertainment, because pro wrestling is entertaining by definition. It's entertainment by definition. So when you think about that, you'll never think about it the same way again. And I didn't either until I heard this from, I don't even remember where I heard it many years ago, about the phrase sports entertainment. And this sports entertainment phrase has been around for 15 years. I mean, The Rock said it in his promos 15 years ago when Vince tried to change the term pro wrestling to sports entertainment. But the phrase is not an equal match. It doesn't jive with what pro wrestling meant. I don't know how to eloquently say this any better. Maybe I'm doing a terrible job, but I hope you guys understand what I'm saying when I talk about pro wrestling and what the phrase sports entertainment doesn't mean anything, right? I mean, I could say I'm going to, you know, it's like calling the NFL sports entertainment, right? Or baseball. or hockey. I'm gonna go watch sports entertainment tonight. What? You have people going, what are you talking about? Oh, you know, sports entertainment, sports that entertain you. Any sport could be sports entertainment. If you find the sport entertaining, then it's sports entertainment. And by very definition, sports are entertainment. So there you go. I have officially broken the WWE mask of pro wrestling by referring to it as sports entertainment. They are a pro wrestling company. WWE will forever be a pro wrestling company. They can hide it. They can try to mask it, put deodorant on it. I don't know why they feel like they need to, but they are a pro wrestling company. What do? They have professional wrestling. Sports entertainment is not a genre. It's not a genre. It's a made-up phrase to cover what they don't want to be labeled as. A pro wrestling company. That's all it is. And they shouldn't be ashamed of that. But they are. They are. They feel they need to evolve into a new name and create a phrase that's not even real. Think about that. So, all right. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining me. I really wasn't going to do a two-part series here on the Joey Styles thing, but it came up to my brain because it was in the same time frame. And it was one of the best promos I've ever heard, and it rings true more and more and more and more. And it makes you just say, damn, you know, good for you, Joey. It is a just mic drop, ultimate mic drop moment. The pipe bomb before the pipe bomb. And I loved it. So I hope you guys did too. And I'd encourage you to check it out. If you don't have the WWE Network, go to YouTube. I mean, YouTube's got everything too. So check that out. And thank you guys for listening. You'll be able to catch me again on Saturday as Ashley and I give you your Elimination Chamber predictions and preview. So I'm looking forward to talking with Ashley. And then AEW NXT review is also coming this week. So we still have three shows to go, and it's already, you know, it's Wednesday. We're now past the halfway point of the week. I'm going to go get some damn sleep because as I said, I got like nothing last night. I'm seriously struggling to keep my eyes open right now. So hope you guys enjoyed the show. Again, follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. Go to WWEPodcast.com. Send me your audio. If you guys want your questions or rants or questions or comments or whatever, send them to me at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. That's realwwepodcast@gmail.com for your voice memos and things. I'll stick them on the show. As long as it's PG and you keep it to a minute or less, I will be glad to stick you your audio on the show, and I'll answer you live on the air. So guys, thank you so much. And if you want an ad-free experience, head on over to patreon.com/WWE podcast as well. And have Facebook. Facebook page is a thing. Facebook.com/the WWE podcast. You guessed it. Trying to be consistent. So check me out there as well. So thank you so much for listening, guys. Please like and subscribe wherever you can and rate and review me wherever you can. It really helps out in the ratings. We're climbing slowly and steadily. The field is becoming very competitive as larger podcasts get into the actual wrestling category. It bumped us down a little bit. We're still hanging out in the 20s, in the top 25 or so, but I'd like to get back into the top 15 and eventually into the top 10, but it's a damn crowded field in that wrestling category. And we got some big names competing. I mean, we got Chris Jericho. AEW dropped their own podcast. Grilling JR. We've got, you know, other names of shows that I won't mention for free publicity. But it is a very crowded field, but I'm ready to take on the fight and get us to the top 10. And hey, who the hell knows? Who knows from there, right? I mean, we could even aim higher. So thank you so much, guys, for listening and liking and subscribing, all that kind of stuff. And I will talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEPodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWEPodcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.